Now, perspective is very important in life. Is the glass full or is it half empty? Someone else says, from his perspective, it doesn't matter if it's half full or half empty, the glass is twice as big as it should be. People who are trained to hit things with a hammer tend to see every problem as a nail. In a war, who's the bad guy? Depending on who you ask, you're going to get different answers. We all come at life from different perspectives. But are some perspectives better than others? Well, yeah. There are some perspectives that are better than others. Some are based on truth and they're going to help you see things the way they truly are, and others are based on falsehood and they're going to stop you from seeing things properly. Now, the gospel, it helps us to develop a better perspective on life. As you face whatever it is you're facing, to get a better perspective, first, you need to look up, look back, look around, and then look forward. And once you've done all that, you'll get a better perspective to face whatever situation that you're in. Now, let me unpack what I mean by that now. So, the first thing to do to get perspective in your life is to look up. Look up. See who's there. And who is it there sitting on his throne in heaven? It's God, the one who made everything and everyone, everything in heaven and earth. And he rules everything. Now, just let me tell you a few things about God. He's infinite. He's not limited by anything or anyone. He just is. He doesn't need anything else to live. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's all-powerful. There's nothing that's too hard for him. He's everywhere. There's no way you can hide from him. And no one can take you away from him. He knows everything. No one can do anything without him knowing about it. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it. He's holy. He's perfectly righteous. He does everything right. He is perfectly just, perfectly loving, good and merciful. He is the rightful king of everything and everyone, everywhere. And one day, everyone will bow their knee before him and confess that he is Lord. Now, that's just scratching the surface. Everything that ever happens on this world happens under the watch of that God. You know, a worldly perspective doesn't believe that God is there, or if he is, he's too big to care about you. And that's going to lead you to see things incorrectly. Things don't just happen without any rhyme or reason. God is really there, really in control of everything. And the good news of the gospel is that when you believe in Jesus, this God comes and lives inside you. You become one of his own people who he loves and cares for. You're not someone he only cares for if he gets stuff from you. That's why, in our passage this morning, that's why the people did what they did. They knew God, and they knew that he was all those things that I just said, so they trusted him. Noah built the ark because he knew who God was. Abraham left his home to go for a journey to who knows where because he knew who God was. Hebrews 11 says that none of the people in this chapter received all the things God promised, but they knew who he was. So they trusted him and had faith in him and did what he said. When the psalmist understood who God was, this is what he wrote, reading Psalm 121. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. If you believe in Jesus today, no matter what situation you're in, you can always look up and see God. He's always there. And the message of the gospel is that this God is for you when you truly believe in Him. And He always loves you and is powerful enough to be working out everything that happens for your good. There's no situation you ever have to face where the glorious, all-powerful God is not there with you. And not just by your side, but in you. You're in Him and He's in you. You're always so closely bound to Him that nothing can ever separate you from Him and His love. So as you go through life, let God help you with your perspective. If you're looking at a situation in life that seems too big for you and you're not sure how you can handle it, don't let that big difficulty cloud your perspective. Remember God. He's the all-powerful one. Nothing's impossible with Him. And He's on your side. With Him strengthening you, there's no situation that you won't be able to make it through. If you're facing an uncertain situation and you don't know how things are going to pan out and you just don't know what to do, don't lose your perspective of God and who He is. You may be uncertain about the big picture, but God's got it sorted out. All He wants you to do is trust Him that He's got it sorted and be godly in all the things that you do. If you're ever facing temptation, don't let the devil cloud your perspective like he did to Adam and Eve. Remember, God is always there. His laws are good and they bring life. And sin only brings death and destruction. And you might think you can hide your sin from other people, but God is everywhere. You can't hide it from Him. And this week, I've been struggling a bit just with trying to process just the brokenness of the world. This world is a really messed up place where lots of really messed up people do messed up stuff to other people. And I'm just one guy. And I feel pretty powerless to do anything about it. You know, I don't feel like I can stop terrorists terrorizing people. I don't feel like I can stop the rich oppressing the poor. On my own, I can't stop innocent people being ravaged by war. I can't stop people making bad decisions which are going to hurt them and hurt their family and other people. But this week, I've been reminding myself that I need to look up and remember God. He's the one who's in charge of everything, not me. He's working out everything the way He wants, and He's way smarter than me, so I can trust Him. God didn't save me so I could put an end to all evils in the world and make everything right again. On that sort of grand scale, that's His job. Only He can do it. And that's exactly what He's doing. When I look up to remember Him, I remember His place and my place. I don't need to do what only God can do. I can't do what only God can do, and He's not going to hold that against me. What God wants me to do now is trust Him and do what He says in the life situation that He's put me in. To minister to the people He brings me, making the best use of the time and the gifts that He's given me. And to remember to pray for those things that are beyond me, but aren't beyond God. Because prayer is not just speaking words into the air. Praying is actually really doing something. But if I'm not trusting Him and being godly in my everyday walk, in the end, what I do, it's not going to matter. I might even prophesy and drive out demons and perform miracles and do all sorts of amazing stuff like that. But if I'm not doing what God's telling me to do, then on the last day, in Matthew, Jesus says He's going to tell me to go away, but He never knew me. So, first step, wherever you're up to in life, whatever you're facing, look up. See God sitting on His heavenly throne. The next thing to do is look behind. Look back and see what God's already done. Take a look at the cross where Jesus died and remember all that it accomplished for us. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who founded our faith when he died on the cross. Now, what did that death achieve? On the cross, Jesus paid the price to redeem his people out of slavery to sin and death. So now people who believe in Jesus are saved from death. When Jesus died on the cross, he took away our whole account of sin. So now we stand innocent before God. And Jesus' death on the cross paid the penalty for sin. So now there's no condemnation for us anymore. Because Jesus has taken away our sin and paid our penalty, everyone who believes in him is reconciled with God. There isn't a relationship problem between us and God anymore. We are his and he is ours. God's not angry at his people anymore. His wrath has been turned away by Jesus' death. Jesus has done so much to repair our relationship with God that Jesus even calls his followers friends. Because Jesus died, he sent his Spirit to live in us, to make us holy and to make us more like him every day. When Jesus died, Satan was defeated. And now Satan has no power over believers anymore. Again, just scratching the surface. Now, a worldly perspective looks back and thinks, oh, well, that's all in the past. Who cares? What's important is now. And then people wonder why history repeats itself. No one was listening the first time. A worldly perspective doesn't even look back, but looks back at something else. It looks inside. It looks at yourself and says, I need to do it my way, off my own bat. I don't need any help from anyone. But when we look back at the cross, we see those things which have already been achieved for us. Whatever it is you're faced with, you know that you don't have to try and achieve any of those things for yourself. It's already been done. It's all that stuff you can look back on knowing that it's something that you don't have to do yourself. When you believe that Jesus is Lord and Saviour, you've already been saved. Sin, death and the devil have already been defeated. So as you go through life, have a perspective that's firmly focused on what Jesus has already done as you contemplate the Christian life. Don't live the way God says because you're trying to earn your salvation. And you're not trying to earn God's happiness with you off your own bat. As we live our lives as Christians in the freedom that Christ has already won our salvation and our favour with God. And the life we live now is a thankful response to what Jesus has already done. When you're faced with temptation, realise that Jesus died to defeat the power of sin and death and the devil over you. The temptation might feel overwhelming, but you don't have to give in to it. You're free from the power it used to have over you. If you're struggling with guilt and shame and you don't feel good enough to be around God and his people, look back at the cross. When you believe in Jesus, he's done what you can't do and made you good enough to approach God. And not just to approach God, but to come near to him and even be adopted as one of God's own children. That's why in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it tells us to run the race before us, throwing off the weights and sins that slow us down. As you go about living your life, remember that Jesus has defeated sin and evil. You don't need to carry them around with you anymore. Those who believe in Christ don't have to give in to sin. And it only causes problems for us in our walk or the race that we're running. So let's throw it off and get on with living the full life that God gives us because of what Jesus has done. Also, when suffering comes along, look back at the cross. See that Jesus also suffered. That he said if anyone wants to follow him, they need to take up their cross and follow him. So when suffering comes along, let the cross colour your perspective. See that suffering doesn't mean you're doing the Christian thing the wrong way. But suffering and enduring hostility is actually a fundamental part of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus went through it and told us to expect the same. Why would we expect anything else? And that's why Hebrews 12 verse 3 there says, "Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so so that you don't grow weary or faint-hearted. When we look back at Jesus' suffering on the cross, it helps us to endure suffering and not to get weak. So, second, wherever you are in life, look back at the cross and remember what Jesus has already done for you. Know that in good times or bad, your salvation is already won, and sin, death, and the devil have already lost. So next, I encourage you to look around. And I'm serious, look around. What do you see? There are other people in here who believe in Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not alone. You're a part of a much greater body with Jesus at the head. We have brothers and sisters sitting around us here today. We've got brothers and sisters all over the world. We've got brothers and sisters throughout the pages of church history. We've just read about a bunch of them here in Hebrews. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. There's a bunch of others. Some of them seem like pretty unlikely heroes. Some of them were around to see God do some pretty amazing things. And some of them went through some pretty tough times. When Jesus saved us from our sins, he sent the Spirit who unites us with Christ. So everyone who believes in Christ is really in Christ. Everyone who confesses Jesus is Lord and Savior is a part of Jesus' body here on earth. And being a part of the body of Christ is something else that should affect your perspective on life. How so? It means you're not alone, whether you want to be or not. And you play your own important place in a body that's much bigger than yourself. And worldly perspectives will say that you're your own person and don't worry about anyone else. Every man for themselves, I'll say. Or they'll say, just fit in with anybody else. You're not special and don't try to be. Yeah, apparently, I've heard from Japanese missionaries, the saying is, you know, the nail that sticks up above the rest, that's the one that gets hit. And it's telling people not to be that nail. But as Christians, we need to avoid those two worldly extremes because they'll give you a false perspective. Like a foot isn't a hand, but it's part of the same body. So Christians are a unique part of a larger body. So when you're doing it tough as a believer, you're believing the devil's accusations that you're the worst sinner, and that you're feeling like no Christian would ever want to come near you. Don't let those feelings affect your perspective that you are part of the body of Christ. There are people you can reach out to. You may feel disconnected, but you're not. There will always be brothers and sisters who care about you. And if you feel like you're the world's worst sinner, just look at some of our brothers and sisters in this passage this morning. You know, back in Genesis, Abraham lied and he sent his wife off to the harem of two foreign kings. Sarah mistreated a woman so bad she sent her out into the desert to die twice, and that woman only lived because God intervened. And Sarah sent that woman away because she did what Sarah asked her to do in the first place. Jacob committed fraud and stole the two things that were most important to his brother. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses beat someone to death and hid the body. Rahab was a prostitute. I can't even tell Samson's story this morning with the kids in here because the things he did have an R rating. And that's not even to speak of the Apostle Paul. He used to go around from city to city killing and imprisoning Christians. Yet, these are some of our brothers and sisters who God accepted because they repented and believed in him. And even though they did such terrible things, we still call them brothers and sisters because they repented and believed. Our brothers and sisters here, don't let the devil's accusations cloud your perspective. When you repent and believe, you join a group of sinners who've been saved by grace. Don't think you're disqualified because you're a sinner and you don't like being one and you want to change. Join the club. or if you're going through a really terrible situation because you're a Christian, you're not the only one. Don't let it get into your perspective because that you're suffering because you're not cutting the mustard as a Christian. You're suffering in very good company. In Hebrews this morning, some of our brothers and sisters were tortured, mocked, flogged, put in prison. Some were killed in nasty ways. Even Jesus, our Saviour himself, was crucified on a Roman cross. And that's all to say nothing of the brothers and sisters who have been killed for their faith throughout the history of the church, or even now in lots of places all over the world. They reckon in the last 100 years more Christians have died for their faith than ever before. And even if we're not suffering ourselves, those suffering Christians are our brothers and sisters. They're part of the body of Christ, and when they suffer, we should also suffer. At the very least, we should try to make ourselves aware of what some of our brothers and sisters go through and uphold them in prayer. Also, and I think this is an important one for our Western world, Christians are each members of the body of Christ. We're not a bunch of individuals who hang out together. Just like your body parts stay attached unless something really violent happens, the body of Christ can't split into individual bits without something really violent happening. If you're a Christian, but you break off from the rest of the body and try to be an individual apart from it, don't think you can do that without causing damage to yourself and to the rest of the body of Christ. So lastly, to get a proper perspective on things, after looking up, looking back, looking around, you need to look forward. Look forward to what's coming. And for those of us who believe in Jesus, that's eternity in heaven with God, where everything will be the way it's supposed to be. There won't be anything that goes wrong, and God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And it'll be like that eternally. And this life here will only seem like a flash in the pan. The worldly perspective says that this life is all that there is. Eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. If you're not trying to fill up every moment with worldly pleasure, you might as well be in training for dying. And any idea of an afterlife is just wishful thinking. It's a crutch. But that's not what we're supposed to be. We should be like. But we should be like our brothers and sisters in this passage here in Hebrews, where in chapter 11, verse 16 there, it says, our perspective should be coloured by a desire for a better country, a heavenly country, a city that God himself has prepared, a city where Jesus himself is going to be. When you look around at the world, what's your perspective of it? When you drive around and see nice cars, nice houses, when you walk down the street and see people wearing nice clothes or people with the most exciting new gadgets, what do you see? When you get back home after a long day and put your feet up, is there anywhere else you'd rather be? If you really grab hold of the idea that this world is passing away, and we're going to spend eternity in the new creation, you look at the things of this world differently, with a different perspective. We can get really caught up in the things that go on here in this world. Think about when you're buying a car, and you can't decide whether to go with the Toyota or the Mazda, and just as you think you're pretty sure what you want, there's a Hyundai that looks pretty good as well. You're not sure which way to go. You're starting to lose some sleep over it because you want to make sure that you pick the right one. But just think, in 10,000 years' time, when you're looking back at that decision from heaven, does it really matter which of those cars you picked? Think about what you set your hope on. Do you hope that your life will be complete once you buy that next thing, once you've got a certain figure in your bank account? Once you've seen all those places in that book you've got called 1001 Places to See Before You Die? Once you get back to your house and put your feet up? Think about it from an eternal perspective. That thing that you want to buy is passing away. You can't keep it. It'll probably wear out anyway. And the joy you get from it will be nothing compared to the joy of the new creation. You can't take your bank account to heaven. Jesus tells us not to store up treasure here, but in heaven. Our treasures here are just going to pass away. I'm sure those 1,001 places to see, they're nice places. But they're going to mean nothing compared to the new creation. I mean, have you read Revelation 21 and 22? It's going to be amazing. And that new creation in Revelation 21 and 22, that is our true home. And all our hope should be on God graciously taking us there after Jesus comes again. So Paul got it when he was talking to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1 there. When he understood eternity with Christ, he wrote, "To die is gain, because then he'd get to be with Christ, which is far better than anything this world could provide." But our looking forward shouldn't only be to our spending eternity in the new creation. We also need to feel the weight of the fact that those who don't know Jesus will spend eternity somewhere else. When you see your friends and your family who don't know Jesus, when you see people walking down the street, when you see people on the news who don't know Jesus and oppose him, we need to allow that aspect of eternity to affect the perspective that we see them with. They're not just other faces who's someone else's problem to deal with. They're real people who are really going to hell unless they hear the gospel and respond to it in God's grace. I pray that we might see other people who don't know Jesus the way God does, as people in God's image who God deeply loves, but are headed for a terrible end that's no good for anyone. So finally, to get a good perspective on things, you need to look forward to what's coming in eternity. Now, those four aspects will help you develop a gospel-centered perspective to look at the world. Look up and see God there, ruling over everything and in control. Look back and see Jesus dying on the cross, having done everything to save you and win victory over death. Look around and see brothers and sisters who are part of the body of Christ with you. And look forward to see eternity and where you and where other people you see will spend it. Now put it all together and what do you get? Let's just work through an example. Imagine you're sitting down in front of the TV and you hear news of another terrorist attack somewhere. What's your perspective as you see that? Well, working through what we've just been talking about. First, look up. See God there, sitting on his throne, ruling in heaven. It's not like God didn't know what the people were planning on doing and that it's caught him by surprise. It's not a situation where God isn't ultimately in control. With our limited perspective, we can't see the whole picture. And God can use terrible situations for the good of his people. The worst thing to happen in history was the death of Jesus, but God was able to use that to make it the best thing that ever happened for his people. So I'm not saying that when we hear of a terrorist attack, we should start high-fiving each other. Absolutely not. The fact that God can use terrible things for the good of his people doesn't make the things less terrible. The death of anyone is always a tragedy, and it's always a cause for mourning. I'm just saying that whatever happens, God's still in control. His work purposes out, even though we might not understand them. And we can be confident that somehow, in some way, God's working for the good of his people. So we look up and we see God. We also look back and see the cross. The cross is where Jesus defeated Satan. Now Satan knows he's been defeated and he's headed for destruction and he's furious and he's trying to take as many people to destruction with him as he can. And he's going around now deceiving who he can, just like he did to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Sometimes he deceives people into doing these things, but it doesn't mean that he's winning. When you look back at the cross, he's already lost. He's like the footy player in the last few minutes of the game, which he's lost, and he starts throwing punches in frustration. You don't need to be concerned that evil will win because Jesus has already beaten it on the cross. Then after looking up and looking back, we need to look around and see our brothers and sisters in Christ. If Christians were targeted, we mourn for the damage that was done to the body of Christ, a body that we're a part of. If our brothers and sisters are hurting, we do what we can to bring help to bring healing, because when they hurt, we hurt. But we look at our other brothers and sisters who've suffered in similar things, and we realise it shouldn't be surprising. It's sad that the world is this way, but it shouldn't be surprising, because it's what's been happening to believers ever since Jesus. When you look at Christians throughout history, you see that we don't have to be extra worried now, because persecution of Christians in pretty brutal ways isn't anything new. Finally, after looking up, down and around, we look forward to eternity. When I hear about things like terrorist attacks, it just makes me long for heaven even more. It's a real reminder that this world isn't home, and I shouldn't be too friendly with it. It makes me pray harder that Jesus would come back soon and bring an end to all this madness. People doing messed up things is just the nature of the world, but thanks to God, it's passing away. And I also think about the people. We know that any Christians who died are now with Jesus, and that's better by far. But what I really find sad about terrorists who kill themselves and other people is that they were so convinced of where they were going to spend eternity, convinced enough to die for it. But when they die, they'll get the rudest surprise of all. We shouldn't be celebrating when people who know Jesus die. God himself has no pleasure in anyone going to hell, and he pleads with people that they would turn and live. Terrorist attacks remind me that there's so many people out there who still don't know about Jesus. There are millions and millions, and maybe even billions of people who don't even have a chance to hear about Jesus. And they're on the path to a terrible end. And when someone takes themselves and others to that terrible end, that's a real tragedy. So when we hear of a terrorist attack, we can look up and see God's still in control. We can look back and see that the devil has already been defeated. We can look around and see that this isn't anything new. And we can look forward and long for eternity in heaven and see the terrible tragedy that people went to hell. I hope that as you know and love the gospel more and more, that you can let the gospel give you perspective on life. So you don't see things tinted by things that aren't true, but you see everything in the light of the truth of the gospel. So as you leave today, let your perspective on life be continually renewed by the gospel, that God is ruling over everything and sent Jesus to die and save us from sin to become his people, who will live forever with him in the new creation. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your perspective on Jesus. And live your life remembering what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Get rid of those things in your life that take your perspective off him. Or stop you from putting your perspective on him. And live your life each day as if you're in it with Jesus for the long haul. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your gospel. We thank you that you are who you are, that you created everything and that you rule everything. We thank you that when you saw that sin was killing your people, that you sent Jesus to come and die on the cross to save us from death.